العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. إن شاء الله we're going to designate the first 10 minutes of the lesson to make a little discussion concerning what we have, what concerning the material that we have covered last week. What is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah?
Arabic.
Arabic or English?
Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is Allah. العبادة
رفع
الله
غير السواء. خطأ. ما هو توحيد الربوبية؟ What is توحيد الربوبية؟
وهل تعبد الله
أن
تشرب؟
خطأ. توحيد الربوبية. Let me tell you, very important that the material we go through, this material gets reviewed and get studied. This is why we have those tapes, and the brother who is supposed to be responsible for the library is responsible to make copies of those tapes and distribute those tapes to the students. If he does not done so, you have to go after him and tell him, hey, where's the tape? We need the tape. So what is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah? We're going to skip that. What is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah? What is Tawheed, the names and attributes of Allah, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Allah is the only one who deserves, who is worthy of being worshipped. Uluhiyyah. Ibadah. Uluhiyyah and Ibadah are the same thing. So what is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah?
Allah is the one who deserves.
Allah, he has the ownership, and he has the creation, and he has the planning and organization of this universe. We told you something that says that I own this thing, and I am the owner. So how can you say Allah is the only owner, and I have ownership to this thing? So Allah is not the only owner as far as that is concerned. How does that fit in the...
saying that your ownership is limited.
Mm-hmm.
And before you own this thing, it wasn't for yours.
Yes.
So there was a time period it wasn't under your ownership system. And after you lose it or you give it to someone or you die, somebody will take it.
Yes.
That's all yours.
Okay, that's one thing. Secondly, do I have free choice to do whatever I want in this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Everything, if I want to go, can I throw it in the garbage? Wouldn't that be considered a waste of money?
Yes.
Am I allowed to waste my wealth and my money?
No.
So, even though I own it, I do not have free use of it. I have to use it in ways that is permissible for me to use. This is second. Third, if I own this thing, who owns me and owns the thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is the only owner. True or false? Tawheed al-Rububiyyah was denied by the disbelievers. Yes, false. Did they accept that Allah is the only owner and the only creator? And that is mentioned in Surah Yunus, which is chapter 10, Surah number 3. How the believers, they acknowledge that Allah is the creator, they acknowledge Allah is the owner, they acknowledge Allah who has the managing and the organization over the universe. They acknowledge that, all of that. What is the relationship between Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah? Yes, what is it?
There is an ayah.
Okay. أحسن very good. But tell me now the relationship.
Relationship and whoever has Tawheed al-Rubbiyyah should already have the Tawheed al-Rubbiyyah.
Very good.
That's a prerequisite for
me. That's one.
Second one.
توحيد الألوهية أن توحيد الألوهية انفعال توحيد الألوهية. We should believe in the name. Did any messenger came to call people to توحيد الألوهية? No. All the messenger came to call the people to what? توحيد. Can you give me an ayah in the Quran? Yes, where is that? Yes, this was repeated many times. Wa alaykum salam. As the messenger came, messenger Nuh, he said to his people, Ibadullah ma lakum ilahin ghayr. Wahud said the same thing, and Salih and Shu'ayb. Now we move to Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. We said to believe in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be according to four criteria. Who can tell me those four criteria?
The Prophet says he arrived, he has to believe that he arrived to teach him. In his way, not imagining humans or animals the way they do.
Yeah, so without imagination.
Imagination.
Second thing.
Al-Mutashbih.
So, without human, without system C, which is imagination, without tashbih, which is resemblance, and without tahrif, which is alteration of the meaning of the word, and without ta'til, which is suspending, without all of those. So we have to believe if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the attribute of having a hand, we do not resemble this attribute to our attribute of having a hand. Nor we imagine how the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor we alter the meaning of the ayah to say the hand means metaphorical for strength, because that would be tahrif, and nor we suspend from our heart the belief that Allah has the attribute of having a hand. We believe Allah has a hand without any, without tahrif, and without the ta'til, and without the tamthil, and without the tashbih. Which ayah in the Quran proof is a proof for that? Nothing like unto him, and he is all hearing, and he is the all seer. So in the first, in the beginning of this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated any resemblance, and in the second portion of the ayah, he affirmed having attributes. Alhamdulillah. Having said that, inshaAllah, we're going to move to continue the lesson. Now, after we studied the part of Tawheed, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed al-Asma' wa Sifat, we're going to talk about the element of shirk. There is three categories of shirk. الشرك الأكبر الشرك الأصغر والشرك الأسفل. The major shirk, the minor shirk, and the hidden shirk. The major shirk is when somebody makes partners to Allah Azza wa Jal in his lordship, ربوبيه, in his worship, Uluhiyyah, or in his asma wa sifat, in his name and attributes. For somebody say there is another creator with Allah Azza wa Jal, this is major shirk. Somebody say there is another deity worthy of worship, this is a major shirk. If somebody says there is another entity that has the same attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is major shirk, because Allah is singled out by having his attributes and nobody share with him his attributes. And when I say somebody faith, they do not have to say it by their tongue. They can say it by their actions. If somebody goes and worships a statue, this is a declaration from him that he is believing this statue is worthy of worship. If somebody saying Mother Nature created this and Mother Nature created that, this is association, because it's not attributing the creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is major shirk. Now we have minor shirk. But before we talk about minor shirk, let's go back to major shirk. Anybody who commits an act of major shirk, if he was in the fold of Islam, he will go outside the fold of Islam. If somebody who is Muslim and says, I'm Muslim, and he goes and worships a statue, slaughter to a statue, offer sacrification to a statue, this person is committing now a major shirk, because act of ibadah can only be directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyone who does an act of major shirk will go outside the fold of al-Islam. Now we have minor shirk. Minor shirk are those things that people do as they have shirk nature in them. Yet, the person who does that does not go outside the fold of al-Islam. For example, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to wear talisman is shirk. To wear a talisman, a sama'in. Alaykum salam. Those things that people wear around their neck and they think that will keep evil from before them. You see a lot of people wearing a blue stone. And they, that has an eye-type thing and they hang it around their neck. This is talisman. Whoever wears a talisman, this is a minor shirk. Why is it a minor shirk? Because this person is not worshipping the talisman, but he thinks, and realizes and says, this person thinks that the talisman will bring to this person the protection from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why it's minor shirk, because Allah did not make the talisman a reason for us to get any protection. But he made what will bring to us protection, a ruqyah. This is what Allah has legislated for us. But if the person thinks that this talisman in of itself is protecting him, he's committing major shirk. Because he thinks now the talisman itself protects him. And this is shirk and tawheed and rububiyyah, because Allah is the one who protects. He is the one who has the tadbir, the managing an organization. But let me have one keep your question, and we're going to allow time at the end to ask for the question for the lesson not to be interrupted. If somebody does wear a talisman, thinking that this talisman will bring to him the protection from Allah, he's committing a minor shirk. But if he thinks the talisman in of itself is protecting him, this is my major shirk. And remember, now we are only giving you the categories of shirk. We're not explaining anything in detail. As you're going through this book that you have in your hand, this issue will become clearer to you as we study it more. But now we are only giving an overview. The minor shirk, nobody should think that it's something that is not important. Because minor is always related to something could be unimportant. But minor shirk is minor when you compare it to the major. But minor shirk in of itself is a major sin. Therefore, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he used to say, I would rather swear by Allah on something that is false than to swear by other than Allah on something that is true. Why? Because if somebody swears by Allah on something that is false, this is a major crime. But if somebody swears by other than Allah, this is shirk. And only shirk is more severe in nature than sin. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah does not forgive association, but He can forgive. He forgives anything else to whomever He wants. Now we talk about the major and the minor. Now we're going to move up to the hidden shirk. Hidden shirk, ya Malik or Abdul Malik? Malik. Hidden shirk is the type of shirk that does not show. It's hidden in the heart. And this is what is called hypocrisy. People after Islam became strong, and the domineering power was Islam, a lot of people who did not want to come into Islam, but they felt the strength of Islam, they pretended that they were Muslim, but in their heart, they were disbelievers. This is called hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, hidden shirk, could be major if somebody is in totality rejecting Islam, but he pretends to be Muslim. And it could be minor shirk when a Muslim does an act of worship to show off. He's not worshiping other deity, but he's showing off. He would be praying, somebody walks into the room and he starts beautifying his prayer. Not for the purpose of teaching the other people, but for the purpose of impressing the other people. To impress people. This is showing off. Showing off is hidden shirk, which is called riyah, showing off. And the other one called nifaq. So nifaq is hypocrisy. To reveal Islam and to conceal association. To reveal Islam and to conceal rejection to Islam. To reveal a person loving Islam and he's concealing hatred for Islam. This is nifaq, hypocrisy.
That's also considered
major shirk.
Not hidden shirk.
No, major hidden shirk. Because hidden could be major and could be minor. It's major hidden shirk. The other one is called riya, to show off. Riya is shirk, hidden but minor. Because the person who does riya, he's not going outside the fold of Al-Islam. But those things, why is it called hidden? Because you don't know it. If a person, you walk in and a person praying very nice, you don't know what is in his heart. Allah knows what is in his heart. If what is in his heart, the desire to impress you, this is riya, showing off. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from falling into major shirk, a minor shirk, and hidden shirk. And realize what I said. May Allah protect us from falling into major shirk. Somebody would say, why are you saying that? Aren't you Muslim? We're not going to fall into major shirk. Say, you never know. Ibrahim alayhi salam, the one who took the hammer, and he broke all the statues and put it in the hand of the biggest one of them. And when they asked him, who did that? He said, the big one. Ibrahim, he was making the dua, Allahumma jannibni wa baniya an na'bud al-shaytan, an na'bud al-asnam. Allah, prevent me and my offspring from worshipping the idol. So we always have to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from falling into major shirk, from falling into minor shirk, and falling into hidden shirk. Having said that, inshaAllah, now is the time we're going to enter into the first chapter. All the explanation that we were doing has to do with the title of the book. كتاب التوحيد. What does توحيد mean? We have talked now, inshallah, what does التوحيد mean? And we're going to go into the first chapter. The first chapter, وقول الله تعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. The first thing that the author put in his book is the ayah from Surah Al-Zariyat number 56. I did not create jinn and ins except to worship. This is the meaning of the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I did not create jinn and ins except to worship. I believe we have went with you last time when in there's a sentence and in it there's negation and exception. What does that imply? Exclusivity. We said how we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say la ilaha illallah. La ilaha negation. Illallah istisna, exception. Negation and exception give exclusivity. Meaning there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. This is always a principle in the Arabic language. I'm going to give an example. If I say Malik wearing a hat, does that negate Mustafa from wearing a hat? Does that negate him from wearing a hat? But if I say nobody is wearing a hat, this is negation. Except Malik, this is istithna, exception. Now I'm singling out Malik to be the only one who is wearing the hat. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, I did not create jinn and ins, this is negation. Except to worship, this is exception. Meaning the only purpose that we were created for is to worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we were not created to have fun. We were not created to just gather wealth. We were not created to go around in our life and live and die and nobody would be asking about us and question what we have done in our life. We were created for one purpose only. And this purpose is to worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So what is worship? If we were created to worship Allah, we have to know what is worship. I believe in last lesson we talked about worship of being one of two things. Things that can only be take place as acts of worship. Right? Remember that we talked about that? Things that only can take place as acts of worship. Fasting, praying, making hajj. And other things, depending on the intention of the person. They could be an act of worship or they could be act of habit. Have we talked about that last time? So now we're going to give you definition of ibadah. Ibadah means worship. We're going to give you the definition of ibadah as far as the act of worship. As far as the act of worship, the act of ibadah. As far as how we do the ibadah, what is the ibadah? The definition for that is ibadah is a word that is inclusive, to everything that is beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A word that is inclusive, that means it includes everything that is beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fasting, is it ibadah? Is it beloved by Allah azza wa jal? Hajj, is it ibadah? Because it's charity. Ibadah. Smiling to your brother. Being nice to your wife. Ibadah. mating with your wife, ibadah. If you want to, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, marry the one who is nice and susceptible to bear a lot of children because I want my nation to be the most. So this has become an act easy. Is it an act of ibadah? Depends on the intention. If somebody is eating like a camel, an animal, you just want to eat, it's not an act of ibadah, it's an act of habit. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the disbelievers. يتمتعون ويأكلون كما تأكل الأنعام والنار مثوى لهم. They enjoy and they eat just like cattle eat, and the fire is their residence. But if a person eats for the purpose of having strength to come to the lesson, having strength to read Quran, having strength to go and earn money for his family to feed his kids and raise his kids according to the Quran and the Sunnah, then the act of worship, is it the act of eating, is it beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal? Then it's ibadah. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, وَكُلُّوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Eat from the good things that we have provided for you, then eating becomes an act of ibadah. So here we say, this is the definition I want you to understand. Ibadah is a word that is inclusive to everything that is beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the definition as far as what pertains to ibadah. This is the definition concerning that which pertains, that is connected to ibadah. But now we can define ibadah itself. What is ibadah? Ibadah is an abstract. What is ibadah? We're going to give it precise definition. The meaning of ibadah is the surrender and the adherence and the obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. Are you with me? To Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Out of love? Out of love and fear. Ahsan. Ya Arabi. What? اسمه الديفينيشن الديفرسون العباده باعتبار ما يتعبد به العباده باعتبار ما يتعبد به اسم جامع لكل ما يحبه الله ويرضاه من الاعمال الظاهره والباطنه. اما تعريف العباده ذات العبادة فهي الخضوع والاستسلام والطاعة لله تبارك وتعالى خوفا وطمعا ومحبة وتعظيما. So عبادة, which is the meaning of the word itself, is the surrendering and the obedience and the طاعة to Allah عز وجل. The obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal out of love, surrender, adherence, and obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal out of love and out of fear and out of hope. وتعظيم, and out of glorification. So we do that for four things: love and fear, hope and glorification. This is the purpose for which we were created. So it does not mean when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I did not create jinn and earth except to worship, we're going to sit on this carpet and pray until we die. Say, this is worship. No. It means we were created to obey Allah Azza wa Jal. We were created to surrender to Allah Azza wa Jal. We were created to adhere to Allah Azza wa Jal. We were created to enslave ourselves to Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the meaning of it, to enslave ourselves to Allah Azza wa Jal. And let it be known to you, just as you know your name. If you do not enslave yourself to Allah Azza wa Jal, you're going to be enslaved to your desires. إِمَّا أَن تَكُونَ عَبْدًا لِلَّهِ وَإِمَّا أَن تَكُونَ عَبْدًا لِلْأَهْوَاءِ وَالشَّهَوَاتِ وَالرَّغَبَاتِ. فكلما ازدادت العبودية لله نقصت العبودية للأهواء، وكلما نقصت العبودية لله ازدادت العبودية للأهواء. أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه وهواه. The more you enslave yourself to Allah, the less your desire will take control of you, evil desire. And the less you enslave yourself to Allah, the more your evil desires will take control of you. What does it mean to enslave yourself to Allah? To obey Allah, to surrender to Allah, to adhere to Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of love, and out of fear, and out of hope, and out of glorification. This is the purpose for which we were created. So we can live, and we can enjoy our life, and we can have houses, and we can have wife and children. Why? 1, 2, 3, 4. You can have children, and you can, but in every aspect of your life, you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You obey Allah when you are dealing with your kids, so you do not transgress against your kids. You obey Allah when you are dealing with your wife. You deal with them with kindness and gentleness and mercy.